All right, my name is Dustin. I'm a grateful alcoholic.
Hi, Dustin.
We love you, Dustin.
Lots and lots and lots.
Thank you. What it was like, basically, I grew up outside of Utah, and it was awesome. I grew up in a little town called Boring, Oregon. You can Google map it, and it's real.
It's just a blip.
Yep, just a blip. I had a great childhood. My family was there. I don't think I can relate any experience or trauma. That's not part of my story when I was a kid. So like I said, we grew up in a religious family, though. We went to church on Sunday, and we did church activities during the week just to kind of keep us spiritually focused. I am blessed to have two younger brothers. So I have we're close too. I'm going to tell a story that demonstrates an awesome analogy of unity. So bear with me. So we're about 2 years apart. All of us are riding the public transit to school. And our youngest brother, in his, I think he was either in kindergarten or first grade, pissed off some sixth grader somehow, just for him being him. And all of a sudden, he starts crying on the bus. Now, John is my other brother, and he makes eye contact with me across the bus because we know the sound of my younger brother crying because we did that a lot to him while we were growing up. And I looked at him like he was picking on him and I wasn't picking on him, and so we just got that look like, let's wreck bitches. I'll tell you about that later after the meeting. That actually means something other than probably what you're thinking. So basically what happened, if you can picture this sixth grader picking on my little brother, one of us made a loud noise. He stood up. John went low. I went high. We beat the ever-living crap out of him and then got off the bus. The principal escorted us home, so we got a free day out of school, also known as a suspension. And proceeded to wait there until my mom got home. And then that was fun. I've done a lot of step work on my childhood, and I realize now that I deserved every whooping I got. My parents didn't beat me as a child or anything like that. I well deserved every whooping that I got. So that's all I got to say about that. Like I said, my family life was... I couldn't have asked for a better family to be brought up in. I learned a lot through growing up. Like I said, no alcoholic tendencies early on in childhood. What ended up happening was, as happens with some people and the institution of marriage, sometimes it doesn't work out. And so my parents split up when I was like 13. I bounced around from Salt Lake City, Utah to Oregon, back and forth a couple times. What ended up happening and what I really want to make relevant is that I ended up in Salt Lake City. I was about 19, so I had graduated from high school. I had not taken a drink or drug yet. But I end up working in this religious process to go away and knock doors, and that's all I'm going to say. So you get where I'm at? I'm trying to keep this as anonymous as possible. I straightened up for 9 months. Like, I was so... It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I thought I was, like, on the beam, spiritually fit. And it came down to this one experience where I was meeting up with this... older gentleman. We were supposed to start filling out this paperwork to qualify me for this trip. And for lack of a, I've taken a look at this many times, and basically what happened was he misplaced the paperwork. And that was a big deal to me, because what I told myself as a result of him doing that was that I didn't matter, I didn't measure up, and he didn't care. And so as a result, he said, well, let's just do it next week, which was no big deal for him, but it was a big deal to me. So when I walked out of his office that Sunday afternoon, I remember the distinct thought that I was determined to sin. After 9 months of being pent up, I was going to live on the other side of the fence. And totally qualified me to be an alcoholic. What happened was I started hanging out with guys that I worked with that actually seemed to enjoy drinking and doing some other outside issues. This is an AA meeting, so I'm not going to mention anything else, but I'm a fan of other outside issues as well. If you want to talk to me about that, I'll talk about that when we're not in here. I lived in Salt Lake for a time, and what my drinking looked like was I'd go and drink on the weekend, and I thought it was manageable then. Taking a look at it now, it wasn't. The weekend moved to like Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Then I would take a day off Monday, or not work Monday, because I had partied for too many days in a row. And I thought I was just that party kid for a really long time. What ended up happening after being in Salt Lake for a time and doing the same thing over and over and over again, I got bored. So I moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That is the brew city of the nation, in case none of you are aware of. And Milwaukee's best is Milwaukee's best in Milwaukee. My alcoholism turned from, it upped its level, basically. My shame and guilt and the things I sacrificed as a result of me doing the things that I was doing while drinking brought me to a new low. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I got an opportunity to either stop or move on, and I wasn't done yet. So what did I do? I moved on to the wonderful city of Las Vegas. I moved to Las Vegas because I had a job opportunity in the same field I was working at in Milwaukee, opened up in Vegas, and let me tell you what, that 6 months in Vegas felt like 6 years. My drinking using got exponentially worse. I was told a story last night of what I did that I don't even remember, because I don't know about you, but once I started drinking at that point in my history, it was all hearsay. Like, I'd hear her say what I did, I'd hear what he said I did. It was ridiculous. And what it ended up coming down to was I had to move back to Salt Lake City. Now, I did a little bit of spiritual dabbling, and what was good about that was I had a new hope that I could live life once more. I didn't know that every time I took a drink or anything else into my body that I would become spiritually disconnected. And so I struggled with that for a really long time in Salt Lake, doing these new age activities, getting together and, sharing our feelings. But then I would drink after, and I couldn't figure out why I could not stay sober for the life of me. Well, since there's a higher power out there that cares about me so much, while I was part of this group, I actually met my first sponsor. And he 12-stepped me about a year and a half before I thought it was a problem. He knew it was not normal what I was doing before, because we had this call time, and I could never make the call time on time, because I was partying the night before. And I don't know why alcoholics do this, and I do it too when I sponsor guys, but every time I called him late and had a headache and would give him an excuse, he would laugh at me. And it was not funny at the time. He would laugh at me and say, you know what, when it stops working, Dustin, call me. And I remember that and it just stuck. Well, the funny thing is about my using is I lost pretty much everything while I was out there. I didn't get much, but I lost everything. And I never lost that man's number. It was actually in a binder similar to this one. It was like in the first two pages, and out of all the things that I lost, I'd never lost his number. And that's got to be divine intervention or something. I had a family member that got hemmed up by the lovely city of Taylorsville, and had to start getting sober, but not doing sobriety, if you know what that means. You know, he had a court card and shit. Excuse my language. Sorry. What ended up happening was, as a result of him getting tricked into being sober, his life got better, and he had to make changes in his life, like change his playgrounds and his playmates. And what that meant was he could not live with his older brother and his younger brother anymore, because we were part of the problem. And the way that we were acting was not okay. The one thing I want to stress about this part in my story is that the way they did it back in the day was they didn't go out and proselyte and tell everyone that they were sober. And it stems from the ideal of attraction rather than promotion. What he did was he would pop in for as long as he could stand, because spiritually and energetically, the home that me and my younger brother lived in was not okay. And as long as he could stay there and stand there, he would show up, and he would show the love that he could to us, and then he would have to leave. And so I started to notice a difference in that when he would show up. What ended up happening as a result of that is I started asking him what he was doing. And he showed me. He's like, "So you want to go get coffee? And I'll tell you about it." Well, he brought like a book that was blue like this. And we read the doctor's opinion. He read it to me. I was not clean at that time, which he shared with me was okay. And if he would have told me that I had to get clean before, you know, to do any of these activities, I would have not been open to it, because I didn't know how to be clean, nor did I know if I even wanted to. I don't remember much about that night, other than that we had coffee and it planted a seed. What happened from that seed was I went to my first AA meeting, and because this brother is so manipulative and thinks he can manage so well, in this meeting, the chairperson is at a table like this, and then like they start going to the right and they say, "You know, we're introduce yourself and blah 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 blah." Well, he stuck me like right here next to the chairperson, so it would go, "Hi, my name is blah blah, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, my name is blah blah, I'm an alcoholic," and then I would have to say, "Hi, my name is Dustin, I'm an alcoholic." Well, because my God has a sense of humor, they went the other direction. And on the other side of the table was, "Hi, my name is blah, 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 and I'm support." Now, what that did for me was it gave me my first out in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. For two more weeks, I discovered what unmanageability was. I discovered what a spiritual bottom was. And I realized that I could not stop drinking once I started playing beer pong. And you know what? I came to an understanding, and the first person I got honest with was my mother and my grandmother. Man, I'm such a pussy sometimes. I'm sorry. What those women did for me was probably save my life, because what they said was, I gave them everything that had been weighing me down in life, that I couldn't look at myself in the mirror for, and that I wanted to end it all but didn't know how. And my grandmother is such a powerful woman. She looked me right in the eye and she says, "Is that it? We can fix that." So what happened was we scheduled a court appointment. I started going to AA meetings. The young people's meetings. They now call it the original candlelight. That's where I got sober, was in that meeting. So in the Midvale court, November 4th was my court date. I don't know what time, but I stood in front of that pulpit and I said, My name's Dustin, and I think I have an alcohol and a drug problem. And the judge changed. I've never seen this in court before, when the judge is so angry and so vengeful, and which is probably my shit I'm projecting, but anyway. He changed and he said, when was the last time you used? And that was the first time I was actually honest in my life. I said, I have used yesterday. And then, have you ever said something and immediately regret it? That was exactly how I felt. He said, okay, where did you use? And I said, in my home with the people I live with. So automatically gave me a condition on, you know, dealing with my life. He said, well, you don't live there anymore. And so I was homeless, and I was starting to think that honesty didn't work once again. Like I said, my higher power absolutely loves me, and so does my family. And I made the first promise that to this day I have kept. My mother asked me if I could live in their home as long as I've stayed sober. I could not stay there if I did not. And I have honored that promise to this day. I went to the candlelight meeting and I stood up and I finally admitted that I was an alcoholic. And when I did, everyone not only laughed, but it seemed like they cheered because they know my brother and he is totally an alcoholic.
It's true.
What's happened, I had a sponsor, like I said, before I got to the rooms. I called that man that night, or that morning or that afternoon, I don't remember, but I still had his number, and I said, are you willing to sponsor me? Because I picked up the jargon a little bit, and I knew what I needed to do. And of course, he laughed at me once again, but I know now it's with love that that you do this. And he said, I would be honored to walk this path with you. And he stayed my sponsor for a large portion of my recovery, until he moved away, actually. Candlelight was my home group for a very long time until spiritually I had outgrown its limits. And then I had to find another home group, which I highly suggest. What one thing, if you can hear anything that I say today, if you get to a point in your sobriety where you think AA is not working anymore, up your level. Everyone in this room can identify that they didn't have one drink. Well, if you have that craving and that obsession, translate it into your sobriety, and I guarantee you will see nothing but miracles in your life. You will see miracles manifest before your eyes that you had no idea you could ever deserve. But I know my God loves every one of his children, no matter what they have done. So you know what? I found my butt in this room at Sugar House Men's Group Monday and Friday nights at 8:15. And those guys saved my life once more. I got to hear a level of honesty from men that I started to model after. We even coined a term to name the meeting by. We call them the Jedis of sobriety. So... and if one day I can get to that level, you know, that would be cool. My life got really busy after that. We had an experience of starting a meeting that has been at my house every time the weather warms up. Because in Salt Lake, it gets really cold some nights. And we're not allowed to do it, this meeting, all the time. We coined this term in this meeting, sacred fire. And that brought a new level to my sobriety. And that meeting is really special to my heart because I've learned to connect to a higher power with other alcoholics and without them. And I know today that the connection between my higher power keeps me sober today. Later on, after that, I got involved with what's called YPAW, Young People in AA. I was part of the first group that started Salty Paw, that resurrected YPAW in this area again. And that committee has been alive for about 2.5 years, almost three. We threw our first statewide UCPA, Utah Conference of Young People in AA. And then we got awarded the Southwestern Area Conference, which is basically if you take California and you go over to Colorado and then down New Mexico and use the U.S. border, that's the territory that this committee that put this event on for you is responsible for. So what we do is we throw events so that we can later on throw a conference for everyone in that area. And our conference is going to be in June?
Yeah.
You can tell I'm really connected. It's going to be in the June 19th through the 22nd. So throughout this entirety of my sobriety, I barely celebrated 4 years. And I don't care if that impresses you, because for a kid that could not stay sober one day or 2 days in a row, that surprises the hell out of me every day I wake up sober. I know that there's a God that loves me and all his children. I do know that sometimes I don't accept that love, but it's always there. I know also that these steps work in my life when I work them. I know that the 12-step process can get me through anything in life. I know that this fellowship supports me when I cannot get in contact with my God or support myself. I think I am part of the most wonderful thing that I never knew I wanted to be a part of. And I'm so grateful today on Thanksgiving that I could bring a message of weight and depth to my fellow alcoholics. My name is Dustin, and I'm a grateful alcoholic.